Thanks. Glad to be here today. As you heard, I am one of the newest directors of a center at the CDC and one of the newest centers. I've been in the job about 3 months, and it's my pleasure to be out here to chat with you about this. I come from the world of clinical medicine rather than from public health, and so if I lapse into a clinical perspective, I hope you'll bring me back very quickly. But I've really enjoyed the journey over the past few months, and that so you're going to hear of a landscape that is evolving in many different ways, both evolving for me and evolving for our center as we try to move forward. Public health informatics comes to us from medical informatics, in that this is a field that's been around a little bit longer than the genomics, but it doesn't really have as much penetration. And I'm going to show you these things because I think it's important for you to understand the differences in how a field evolves. So Morris Collin, who is one of the fathers of the field and a Nobel Prize winner, defined medical informatics as the application of computer technology to all fields of medicine, medical care, teaching, medical research. And I think that that's a really interesting start, that many of you would have that perspective on what informatics is it's what the computer guys do. And so oftentimes if there's a problem with a PowerPoint presentation or with actually getting a computer to boot, the informatician is who you would call. But I think that as the field has evolved, the definition has evolved. So I'm going to show you a definition from Marsden Boyce and Ted Shortliff from 1990. And that what you're seeing is a movement toward medical informatics as being an interdisciplinary science. So it's the scientific field that deals with the storage, retrieval, optimal use of biomedical information, data, and knowledge for problem solving and decision making. So if you look at the difference in these two definitions, it's not just about computer technology. Now we're really moving to the issue of problem-solving and decision-making and how technology can be brought to bear in medical context. Now, this is from Bill Hirsch in 2007, and that this really shows how the field has evolved to a true interdisciplinary fashion. It's an integrative discipline that arises from the synergistic application of computational, informational, cognitive, organizational, and other sciences whose primary focus is the acquisition, storage, and use of information in the biomedical healthcare domain. So again, the idea here is that we have to look across a whole series of sciences in an interdisciplinary way to understand how technology can have an impact on the processes of healthcare that we're interested in. Public health, clinical health, nursing, veterinary, dental, all of those things are suitable applications. When we're talking about public health informatics, we can sort of like break things up into a couple of different groups. We have very basic research, which might be in numerical methods, it might be in representation methods, different computational strategies and algorithms. And we have a variety of more applied fields, such as bioinformatics, which might be doing with genomics and other areas. Image informatics, how do you handle large databases for that come from radiology, or how do we do image processing so we recognize what's going on there. Clinical informatics, which is probably gets the most spin these days, including some stuff I'll talk about in the Office of the National Coordinator as we're going on. And then public health informatics. And you can see how this sort of spectrum changes and moves forward here. Molecular and cellular processes, imaging being about tissues and organs, clinical informatics being about individuals or patients, and then public health focused on populations and society as your view here. But all of this goes back and forth, goes back to the same set of methods, techniques, and theories to drive this forward. And so we look at this as one whole discipline with multiple different approaches to it. It's sort of the different wavelengths of light, if you want to have it there. They all have, they're all waves. They all have the same properties, but they're all different colors. So, now, this is a very interesting theorem, and I want to take some time on it because it's actually the essence of what we're doing and what makes biomedical informatics or a unique field. So it's stated with pictograms here, but the basic idea is if you take a human with a brain and a computer program, it has to be more than just the human being alone. And so, if you think about it, you say this is really the essence of evaluation of all the things that we're trying to do with biomedical informatics, is to establish really that the computer adds to the processes of public health care, clinical care, imaging processing, whatever is there. So when you look at this, that informatics is really as much about people as it is the technology. And in successful applications, you really see an interactive partnership between the people and the technology. So let me give you an example of that. So this is from some work that I've done in wireless care for disasters, and that one of the systems we developed was an electronic triage tag, which I hope you can see down here as this first responder during an exercise put this on a simulated victim and would use this to set how severely injured the person is. It'll radio that out and send the data to a healthcare system where you can track where the victims are by the radio signal and how severely they're injured. This little device also gets signals from the system. Add that in here. So there may be a guy with a tablet who sees all these little devices that are here, and then he can give instructions here as to where which ambulance the patient needs to be loaded on, where they need to be taken to next. And they show up on the little screen over on this triage tag. The tag has a couple of lights on it. They flash colors depending on how severely ill the patient is. Red means they're really severely injured. Now over here is the first responder with the paper. So we think about this as just a guy with a brain alone. And what he has is a piece of paper that he can write the victim's injuries on, and that he can tear off little tags on it that can show how severely injured the person is. And so really what health informatics is in this particular area, biomedical informatics, health informatics, public health, I'll use these things somewhat interchangeably back and forth, is the difference between this guy and this guy. One guy has the opportunity to be part of a system where he's connected wirelessly to a whole group of individuals at the same time. The other guy has the ability to leave paper back here, but he's not really able to transmit any of the information. And that this is really what the difference is, or what defines health informatics in that type of a way, is the difference between the behaviors and the what happens to the patients in these two different settings when you add the technology. Okay, so as this is applied to public health, one of the things you learn is that the CDC uses, many people use PCs, so I'm going to have to describe what this slide would have been. Because my slide didn't carry through. And this is, again, some work by Charles Friedman that I think is very interesting and sort of says that we need to look at four different aspects of health informatics. At the bottom of what was supposed to be on this slide as a pyramid is the notion that we have to develop models for the world we believe in. We have to find simplifications that are able to show us what are the difference or the demand dynamics. We saw some of this with the relationships of public health and genomics. I'll show you another model there. On top of the layer from models is a layer of systems. So once we have an idea about how the world works, we can build a computer system to try to enhance what it's doing. A third level, something that is done in clinical medicine but is not done in public health practice, and I wish I could leave as a take-home message for you, so I'll just emphasize this a lot, is that whenever you introduce a computer system into a new environment, the acceptance or the uptake of that computer system is an aspect of the study of science for informatics. It's something you really have to pay attention to. It is not enough just to build a system that meets the model specifications and then evaluate it. It is because it is about the interaction between people and computers, you really have to understand the social culture that you're moving the computer system into and then build it out to that culture. You have to like introduce it in a way that the culture will accept it. So you need opinion leaders, you need to be able to fit it well in the workflows, and that you need to consider all the factors that are really about the human element. And then last at the top of the pyramid was the idea that you're evaluating what the impact of this is on whatever your clinical process or public health process is. How much help did you gain at the end of the day by using this computer program? So again, I wish I had bullets up here, but I think I've made it through the slide even though it's blank. Well, let's in our minds do this. At the bottom, we have models. The second layer will have systems that we build. The third layer will be the people and how we put the people into organizations and studying how technology affects organizations. And then the fourth layer will be actually evaluating the systems with a good clinical epidemiological perspective, how much health is gained. So let's go and see how this applies to public health. And this is something that I think you may all be familiar with, the idea of an outbreak of a disease, that there's the first case, clusters that are detected, subsequent clusters, and there's a, sort of the monitoring of the situation and recovery. And that at the CDC or in any other place, there's a whole series of applications and tasks and events that need to be taken on. For example, you know, that there are media reports, and you might be able to pick up what was going on in using media feeds and doing computer processing of those. You might bring an organization, like this is the Director's Emergency Operations Center at the CDC. You might bring out software for outbreak management. You might bring out your countermeasures like quarantines, vaccines, and see how they work. So there's a whole timeline going on here and a whole set of activities that you can do, and that this is one view of the world. Another view of the world is to think of the world as a set of systems and information, so that we can look at the health threat, the same thing you're doing here, and talk about a cycle where we're gathering data. We take data, which is just facts, and turn it into information, which is a little bit more organized. It has details of coherent statements about the world. And then before I move on to that, I need to think about knowledge and what the difference is between information and knowledge. An example of knowledge might be, I know there's an outbreak that's going on. I still have to make decisions in that setting. Once I know what I'm going to do, I'm going to deploy my countermeasures, I'm going to initiate vaccines, I'm going to close schools, those types of things. There's a realm of things that are going on there. And once the decisions are made, I've got to plan and act. And so all of these things here are the subject of systems that work inside the CDC, that the CDC's developed for managing health threats. We have a lot of tools to acquire data from healthcare systems. Some of them, you know, might add surveying systems, other things like that. We integrate those inside information systems. We turn them into knowledge in organizations and using tools like EBX and integrate things. And then we make decisions, and sometimes we need to simulate what goes on. We might use mathematical models for that. We've got a plan, so we might need to know where things are in the supply chain, like antibiotics or other types of countermeasures. And then we need to actually manage the outbreak, detect the people who are infected, track down their follow-ups, contain the outbreak, and to track the administration of countermeasures to populations. And this will produce more data. So the whole point I'm getting at is that there's the same activities you could think of as linearly can be represented as a cycle of information. And then if you look at the different applications, you can look across and see that all of these need to talk to each other. But that's not quite enough. So for health informatics, what we really, once we come up with the idea that we're moving from data to information to knowledge to decisions and plans, to support that, we really need a whole wide range of activities, ranging from development of standards, that's coming to agreement as what the messages are for computers to another, to designing applications and services that people can use, to performing research, to doing evaluation on what works and what doesn't, finding out what good policy is, and educating people. So all of these things together need to work together for computer systems and for public health informatics to move forward. So let me give you an example of how this might work that I think it hopefully will inspire you. Let's say there's an index case of Legionella, and that the New York City, this is, comes from our New York City Center of Excellence, detects an outbreak of Legionella in Parkchester and Bronx by a spike in the number of cases, and that at this point, that what you see here is this is information. There's an increase in the number of cases. The health department gets together and says that this is consistent in a variety of ways and decides there's a Legionella outbreak. That's not logical. And then they take an action, which is a disaggregation alert. Now, in a connected world, alerts can really have some interesting impacts. So in their example, what they were able to do is embed the alert inside an electronic medical record, which alerted the physicians who were seeing someone with a fever and a cough that there is an outbreak of Legionella in the community. show you that. So this is a screen from an actual medical record, and then when the person came in with a fever and a short and a cough, you were prompted about the Legionella outbreak, and then were encouraged to get certain diagnostic tests. So in a connected system, public health has the ability to move in a feedback loop all the way back out to the clinical point of care. And that's really what I think is the essence of informatics, is we're able to move from the public health practice to actually intervening in, within a series of connected steps. Now, how does this happen? Well, it doesn't happen without a lot of organization. And this is a diagram showing the National Health Information Network, which is a growing activity in the Bush administration and in states. And I'll show you some data on that, which connects clinical laboratories, hospitals, personal health records, which might be stored in vendors like Quicken and other things like that, or Google, consumers, with state and local public health labs, the FDA, and others there. Now, to get this to work, there's a whole bunch of different components, and that we at the CDC have already been working on something called FIN, or Public Health Information Network, to try to connect some of the public health components. But this has really took off with the president's mandate in 2004 for widespread electronic health records by 2014, with the founding of the Office of the National Coordinator, and with the development of the American Health Information Community, which has been working on healthcare standards, and certification of systems, and on developing prototypes for this. The community is a pretty complex group of structures, so that this is this public-private partnership that the Secretary has convened and has a whole bunch of different standards panels that are going on here, state-level initiatives, different aspects of trying to define how to get systems to work together. Missed this here, but this was a picture of the United States with various health information efforts. And it shows that about two-thirds of the states in the United States have some legislative activity on health information boards, and that this is really the future of how public health will do its work. NICFI is really the group inside the CDC leading its efforts with health integration. We're one of the centers in what's called the Coordinating Center for Health Information and Services. And that, so this kind of gives you an idea of sort of where we sit in the organization and what our level is. Our mission really is to protect the public's health, promote equity, and transform the health system through advancement of science, biomedical informatics, and application of its principles to practice. And we're really providing leadership and vision to help create this interoperable public health system. And I've described a few of our programs like BioSense and Meds, FIN, Outbreak Manage, CDC's Outbreak Management, and Countermeasure Response Administration are some of the programs that reside with us. We're really leading public health integrations into the NHEM through collaborations with the Office of the National Coordinator and participation in the American Health Information Community, and through our own public health integration RFA that we issued over the summer. And I'll tell you a little bit more details about that. But our work has really been around, with the NHEM, has been around BioSense and evolution of this program. Now, some of you have probably heard of this, and we know it's controversial, that it was really in the past about the idea of looking for surveillance of syndromes. So we had multiple noisy data sources that were interesting, and they were chief complaints, ER diagnoses, lab data, over-the-counter purchases, absenteeism. And we just tried to figure out if there was something wrong, and then we dispatched an army of public health people to figure out what's going on. But nobody really believed that that could actually happen in this environment, and that this initial framework hasn't worked out very well. Now, in the future, what we're moving toward is an idea where we can do case-based surveillance throughout the healthcare system. So the idea is to fit our information technology with public health practice. Stage level of interest, potentially interesting cases, moving on to suspected cases to confirmed cases. And we really need to integrate with other public health tools to be effective. So this is sort of how the world might work, is if you have different regional health information exchanges, that's REOs here for short, in the future, BioSense will work to help integrate local public health with these regional health information exchanges, and then we'll have tools that also help convey the data to the CDC, and that there might be other info brokers that allow the information exchanges to get access to national data sources. So, as I was saying, we have an RFA out right now that we're evaluating vendors for an $8 to $10 million a year program, which will fund these regional health information exchanges, but require them to send data to public health. What this will do is allow public health to monitor data from the bioterrorism use cases that they have developed, do two-way data exchange, transmit data at all levels of public health, and most importantly, assess, track, and characterize outbreaks. We have a bunch of other initiatives I'd like to tell you about. We're working on training 1,000 public health informaticians by 2012 through programs we're developing with AMI and with other groups. This will involve distance learning and other metrics. We're changing how we develop software in the CDC. We're developing communities of practice that are going to open source. So products that you've heard of before, like EpiInfo, you're going to be able to get a hold of the source code of that and extend it in a community of practice for your own activities. And then we're working with our Centers of Excellence in Public Health Informatics. This is another BioSense supported program, and it's really on how we further our research agenda. So we're really committed to innovation. We have a number of key areas, but I'm running short of time, so what I'm going to do is talk a little bit about the big vision of how we see things. We'd like to look at a world that is much more connected even than it is now. While most of you probably do have internet access, we currently live in a world where data resides on large servers and that the people don't really exchange computing power or services. But what we want to be able to do is envision a world where people are much more closely connected to each other, that the CDC, FDA, and other agencies have the ability to not only exchange data with themselves, but access data that resides on servers in different places, including accessing data from people or consumer organizations and providers in what we would call a public health grid. So, and my summary on this is that we're really beginning a journey. I'd like to be 10 years along. I'm quoting an African proverb here because I think it's really important. If you want to travel fast, travel alone. If you want to travel far, travel together. We have a very long ways to go with the use of information systems in public health. It's really essential that we work together to try to get there because the tools, the things that we really want to do are complex, and they're about doing things together, like the story I told you with public health being able to act and affect clinical practice several steps down the road when there's an outbreak. It's a rapidly evolving field. It's going to really impact public health practice and the way you do business in the next few years. And the NHIN, or National Health Information Network, offers a wide range of opportunities for public health. There's new strategies for surveillance and intervention, and there are systems that interlock and work together. So I really thank you, and look forward to hearing questions from the other authors of various talks and hearing your questions.
Thank you. Well, I want to thank you all again. I mean,